Dubs. I'm here, folks. Just got to get my music. Come on. Here we go. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View here on BBSRadio.com, Station 2, for Monday evening, August 6th, 2012. I'm your humble host, PK. Your enlightened humble host, PK. And I'm here every Monday at 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, and 11:55 Eastern here on Third Stream View. And as I always do, I will pay homage to the suits in the office at BBS Radio because they always promote free speech, free thought. They're very pro First Amendment. And equally important, they are very pro-PK. They like PK. That would be me. But if I was the suits in the office, I too would like me. So, anyway, I might have a guest on. We'll see what happens. But we had this tragedy, was it yesterday, at the Sikh temple in Wisconsin, which I want to touch on. So, and events leading up to that, my take on some of it, which is not the, actually focused on the gun part. I'm not looking at the gun part as much as a stupidity part. But, let me say, after I praise the suits in the office at BBS Radio, let me say that not only am I thankful for what they do, but how they keep it going. And they, you know, my show is different than a lot of shows where I talk about politics and economics, and I tend to cut to the chase with my solutions or my my criticisms and solutions. And criticism does not equal hatred. I am not a hater. I'm a critic, but I am not a hater. So let's see what my friend has to say. Okay, looks like he won't be joining us. So I'm going to wing it as I can because I'm smart. Anyway, let me just send this little message to the office. Okay, they got that. So, and as I often do, or sometimes I forget to do, I want to just say hi to those pricks from the CIA and the FBI and the NSA, all those government pricks who may be listening and monitoring my show, because they manipulate the truth. They are part of the crowd who stages the news. the managed news media, and they like to control us. Well, a lot of us are really waking up to it. And, I mean, that's the main game plan of the CIA when they're not overthrowing governments or toppling other governments or causing problems throughout the world. Because they are heavily involved in the media, universities. I've talked about it before, but I like to keep bringing it up because it's very important. To my multitude of listeners, of which there should be millions. So if anybody would like to call in, by the way, I'm here, your host PK. I'm at 888-429-5471. And I've been doing this show for over a year now, maybe a year and a half. And I continue to learn more about current events because I like to read. And I check out a lot of stuff. And I draw my own conclusions. So, this thing that happened in Wisconsin, as tragic as it is, and only 2 weeks after that other idiot shot up the theater, I'm not coming at the gun angle as much as I am the racist idiot veteran who did this. And my gut feeling on this is that he acted alone. That, I mean, if there was a conspiracy, yeah, there might have been somebody else involved. I don't know, but I think he's sort of the lone nut. My gut feeling is that this was not staged by government. And they did kill the guy. And they're looking for someone else who was acting suspicious, whatever that means. Somebody else that they're interested in. They showed his picture up there. Maybe he was an associate or a co-conspirator. I don't know. But it sure is a shame. And I, being PK, therefore enlightened and worldly, I can recognize a Sikh turban right away. That was my first gut feeling. This idiot who shot these people thought they were Muslims, assuming that's what he was gunning for. And Sikhs are not Muslims. They're from the northern part of India. They've been around since, what, the 15th century? I think they'd be probably closer to perhaps Hindu than anything else. They're monotheistic, although I preferred polytheism, the Greek different gods for this and that made more sense to me, the non-militant atheist. But I knew right away this idiot must have thought these people were Muslims. They had their own Sikh temple. And in India, they're sort of like the business class, some of the warrior class or the military class. Yes, some Sikhs whacked Indira Gandhi back in 84. But that is neither here nor there. That's over there. And I see them sometimes in Indian restaurants because I recognize their turban immediately. They're not Muslims. They don't have a Muslim-type turban. A Sikh's turban seems to go up a little bit on each side. It's kind of classy. So I knew right away that Sikhs are not Muslims. They're nice people. And for this idiot, or for anybody to shoot anybody up, but if this fool thought he was killing Muslims, he's way wrong. And it just shows his stupidity, which so many Americans have about other cultures and the rest of the world. I mean, that was the first thing that struck my mind, is that so this a-hole who killed this guy must have thought that this guy was a Muslim. But they're not. And such a tragedy. And, I'm very pro-gun ownership and gun rights, but when these a-holes do stuff like that, it makes it harder even to defend gun rights because the opposite side's screaming for their guns. And, yeah, I guess if there's some other armed Sikhs, they would have shot this guy. So, it's very disappointing. I hate to see this stuff happen. Maybe the guy had a death wish. I'm glad they killed him. Because if they put them on trial, take a while, then they have to pay for this and pay for that. And it's, you know, they say it's cheaper to put someone in jail than it is to have these lengthy trials and whatnot. So, you know, I'm glad they whacked him. You know, what else could they do? Take him alive. Probably an angry white guy. Suppose he was in a punk band or one of these, you know, skinhead racist type bands. Yet he served in the military. I think he got a less than honorable discharge. So just as that other tragedy is, you know, they've buried the people and people are still grieving, then this happens. You know, I wonder where the next one's going to be. It's just awful. Just awful to kill these innocent people. And this is all largely a result of 9/11. Because ever since 9/11, they have demonized Muslims and Islam. It's become the new Cold War. Because the vast, ever-growing military-industrial complex needs a new boogeyman. Now, they didn't exist. They weren't as strong after World War I or before World War I. Yeah, you need companies to make munitions and defense weapons. I understand that. But it really took, you know, it really started after World War II. It became a huge market. So they're building all these weapons. Like, you know, who's going to attack us? We defeated the evil Japanese and the Germans. Of course, then the Russians came around, our former allies. Well, so the Cold War sort of ends in 1991. The Soviet Empire collapses. And I guess the globalists and the Zionists wanted to run aimlessly for a few years till they wrote their stupid PNAC document, Project for New American Century, where they wanted to rebuild America's defenses as if, you know, we didn't have enough of this and that and this and that. And like I like to say, the military-industrial complex is sucking away valuable, precious investment capital from other sectors of society that need that. So they got this huge... Washington has this huge arms, you know, military equipment trade going on, supplying weapons to countries that are our friends, I guess. But, you know, all this militarism, this is not building a stronger economy. I mean, how sad is that where, you know, your main thing is like defense spending? All these private companies on the government tit, you know, most of these defense companies, they're paid through taxes. They're paid through our taxes. And they've had, they've been gouging at the tax trough ever since, well, other wars too, but, you know, Afghanistan, that's 11 years this year. We've been in Afghanistan longer than in Vietnam, I think. Now, Vietnam, they may have won. The enemy may have won the war, but we had better songs. That's my Vietnam joke. Of course, that was staged, too, the Gulf of Tonkin. They blew that thing into a reason to land troops in South Vietnam or Vietnam. And, I mean, what was the Navy doing over there anyway in 1964 in the South China Sea or whatever? They were conducting pinprick raids into North Vietnam. They were agitating. They were, you know, angering these people. And, you know, what, you're 10,000 miles away, 8,000 miles away from the U.S., you know, sticking their nose in trouble over there. So supposedly Viet Cong torpedo boats attacked the Maddox. It was a destroyer. So that got the whole Vietnam thing going because of that. And then supposedly they attacked the next day. These torpedo boats, but it didn't ever happen. I think that idiot McNamara spoke about it in the Dogs of War. He sort of made that man that he was in a documentary afterwards, and he kind of showed his true colors, or let some of it get by. His the way that he handled Vietnam, or the way it wasn't what we thought it was, or how it was staged, sort of. So, I mean, he had a flimsy explanation for it all. But the military-industrial complex grew a lot during the 60s, and the Vietnam War was good for it. And as they like to say, Kennedy, who kind of ramped it up with advisors and shipping, I guess, weapons and this and that, he, towards the end of his life, the end of his term, supposedly was going to bring the troops, you know, pull them out of Vietnam and get, you know, get out of that mess. Well, as soon as Kennedy gets whacked, LBJ pretty much reverses all of his, all of Kennedy's policies. And, of course, this fed the military-industrial complex a lot more, and it gave us this long war in Vietnam. Now, I'm not sure yet. I'd like to find out. I'm willing to bet you it's cost more. The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and, of course, Yemen and Libya and Pakistan, all the stuff they're widening the wars for, but those wars, mainly Iraq and Afghanistan, allowed for the awful concept of inflation. I think, I'm pretty sure, that allowing for inflation, that the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have cost the U.S., not in lives and blood, of course. Oh, that's obviously very important. But I think they've cost more than World War II. I think they have. Iraq and Afghanistan, total expenditures allowing for inflation, I believe, have cost more than World War II. And, of course, that was massively expensive. So now, for all these years, we've had war in Afghanistan. Longer than Iraq. Iraq is supposedly wound down. But they're still going to keep a lot of troops there. They got all these bases. They got all these bases around, ringed around Iran. These idiots in Israel still want to attack. These stupid, idiot, neocon, rabid Zionist, pro-war, pro-apartheid, you know, kill the Palestinians, kick them out, marginalize them. They want more war. But it's good to see. Because I banter on, I debate guys on internet, Facebook, and even some of the Jewish opponents of mine. It's good to see Israel's got its back against the wall, because they know world opinion is very anti-Israel, and that's growing, and people are waking up to the fact. And Israelis especially hate it when anti-Zionist Jews condemn Israel too. So yes, folks, a lot of it goes back to Israel. We're talking about the problems in the world, especially any of the terrorism, because, as I'm fond of saying, and consistently say, is that the U.S. had no enemies in the Middle East before 1948, when Israel was violently imposed on Palestine. And ever since then, unconstitutionally, the federal government, Uncle Sam's been subsidizing and providing Israel with continuous foreign aid and an endless supply of free American-made murder weapons. And it's very scary, because of where Israel sits, it's got 200 to 300 nukes and the capability of delivering them. It's got nuclear submarines now with nuclear missiles, a lot of which Germany has provided. Foolish Germans and their guilt still over the Holocaust, given them Israel freebies, freebies, freebies. And what most people don't know is that Israel has this idiotic Samson option, where they, if they think they're going down in war or whatever, oppression, they're going to take everybody else with them. So you see where they are. They could easily hit China, Russia, London, Paris, Rome, Madrid, and they've got missiles potentially would take these places out. So that's what these Zionist bastards want to do with their Samson option. All this is under the, you know, sort of like under the weather, under the wire. You know, I'm hip to a lot of this stuff, and those that banter about it and debate it on the internet are too. But the general public really doesn't have a clue about it, Zionist power, and what Israel's up to, and all the spying they do, and then if not copying our technology, modifying it and then selling it to Russia or China. So, but 9/11, which I contend was done mainly by Israel's Mossad, by deception we make war as their mantra, or by way of deception we make war. You know what I'm talking about. It's the same thing. That's what I'm getting at. I believe that they staged 9/11. Their fingerprints are mostly over it, including the firm that was, I guess, running security. There's a lot of bizarre, unexplained things that happened on 9/11. And a lot of you probably know about the dancing Israelis. Some of them say they were Muslims, but they were recording the 9/11 thing as if they knew it was going to happen. And then, so they're arrested, and then that Zionist dual passport bastard, Michael Chertoff, who was a head of, another damn lawyer, he was a head of the, was he head of Homeland Security for a while under Bush, a rabid Zionist, and he profited, or his companies profited, from these damn porno scanners in the airports, these scanners for, you know, that screen you, of these cancer machines, as they're called also. He says he had some profit off of that, the bastard, but he either represented the firms that did or is involved with some of the firms that did. But you can't trust someone like that. But he got these guys off. He got them. They were allowed to go back to Israel. So, anyway, Mossad's pulling off 9/11 worked like a charm for Israel because it demonized Muslims even further, and it turned the world against them a bit, or actually a lot of Americans who are clueless about other cultures. But it worked like a charm for Israel and its Mossad. So now we have a new boogie bear, which has replaced the Soviet Union. Don't call it an evil empire, but it's that's what's happened. So Islam has been under attack and under the gun. And yes, there's radical Islamists, but why is this? I mean, Ron Paul talks about it. Why is there blowback? Why do they hate us? Well, you have to go back to the, at least the 19th century, perhaps the 18th century. But if you look at North Africa, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, all the way across North Africa, of course, largely the rest of Africa for that matter, but we're just talking about the main Muslim world now. You go across from Morocco to Algeria, to Tunis, to Chad, whatever else is there, and then Egypt, then over to Palestine. I left out Libya on the North Africa. Cross over into Palestine, Jordan, Syria, Iran. Iran is mostly Shiite Muslim, which is different than the Sunnis, which was Iraq, a lot of Iraq and Saudis. And I thought that Syria had a large Sunni population, but I thought it was mostly Shiite. But anyway, these countries, and I got to Egypt, and then, of course, past Palestine, you keep going east, you know, you have Iran, and then Pakistan, Afghanistan, India, keep going to Indonesia, which is the biggest Muslim country in the world. So all these Muslim countries have been invaded and colonized by the Western powers, namely Britain, France, Spain, and Italy. Britain and France more past Egypt, but Syria for France, Egypt for England, Palestine was under the British mandate, and that's when the terrorist bastard Menachem Begin blew up the King David Hotel. There's a lot of Israeli terrorists. There's the Irgun gang, and who's the other gang? Oh, I forget their name. But there was two rival gangs, and then they sort of merged into one. But Britain colonized, well, they created Iraq. Lawrence, T.E. Lawrence helped create Iraq after World War II. After World War I, they put a Saudi prince, I think it was Faisal, on the Iraqi throne. And I think Britain found oil for Iraq in 1910 or something like that, 1912. So anyway, all these countries have been colonized and invaded and occupied by Western powers who happen to be Christian, you know, nations. So of course they're apprehensive about it and they don't like it. Yeah, Islam has its faults and those people. I don't like the religion. I'm a nonviolent, non-militant atheist. But I also see why they would be concerned. And that's why there's all this blowback, because they've been invaded before. This isn't new. This goes back a couple of centuries. So you have to know that. It's not just like they hate us because that idiot Bush said because we're free and we have rights and women have freedom. That's BS. They might resent us for that stuff, but that's not the same as having political and military intervention in your country for years. And that's what the CIA does. I'm really realizing this lately. CIA, of course, it's all wrapped up in patriotism as if they're helping us. But a lot of these CIA bastards, you know, they're manipulating the truth and the news, and they're doing it overseas too. So instead of having to take over a whole country as government, you can manipulate it. And they're the masters of deception, as are their cousins and Britain's MI6 and Israel's Mossad. And together, they are the masters of deception. So that's why I hardly watch the news anymore. And if I do, CNN and Fox, I can tell how it's staged and managed, what they will talk about, what they don't talk about. One interesting thing is that neither Romney or Obama, but I repeat myself, neither one of them wants to cut defense spending. And Obama signed the biggest military budget ever. Was it last year? So, you know, in their debating and whatnot, as they nibble around the edges and try to show this as if there's a difference between the two, that just doesn't happen. And they both support the same foreign policy, basically. So with that, you know, that's pretty much unchanging. So they're just nibbling around the edges for everything else. We're supposed to believe that there's a difference in the parties. The main difference is, oh, good sign. The main difference is that they agree on everything except on how much to spend. And I'm just seeing a really cool sign my friend put up. It says oligarchy. It's a big club and you ain't in it. And gee, who's on the pictures? Who's on the cover? That son of a bitch, Cheney, Bush, Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, Mitt Romney, and John McCain. and I don't know if it's fake sign. It looks like it's been superimposed, but it's pretty funny because it sure shows you what's going on. The oligarchy. Like the guy said, I killed two birds with one stone, but the government got me for hunting without a license. Here's a quote from Mises. Both force and money are impotent against ideas. That's nice. I want to read you this quote that I got from, if I can find it. Of course, I always like this one. I'm jumping around here, folks, but that's what we do here on Third Stream View. A patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his government. Now, I've seen that quoted by several different people, but a patriot is always ready to defend his country from its government. So if I can, there's a very good quote that my friend Scott had today. And if I can find it, because it really, it's, and it's from that despicable Carol Quigley, who was Clinton's mentor. And it really lays it out. If I can find it. Carol Quigley wrote Tragedy and Hope. It's not a book I've read, but I know about it. And he was allowed to look at, or he was allowed to see the papers of the globalist meetings, you know, the Rockefeller, that whole crowd. And what to me is the more despicable thing about it is he condoned it. He just wished they were less secretive about it. And these are the people who want world government. They want world government, and if they would be honest about it, let the people know, instead of denying it all and having their secret meetings, hell yes, they're secretive in what they do, and they don't want us to know. But in Tragedy and Hope, Quigley has a couple paragraphs where he lays out what they want. They want us to believe that, you know, the choices between Republican and Democrat, that's what we basically have. But when in truth is they control both sides and it's pretty much the same. And I just wish I could find that quote because it really lines it up. And it's that Quigley quote, and I wish I had it from earlier, but I like the way it's so easy to, When you hear this quote, it's so easy to see how both parties are basically the same. You know. So I was glad to see that quote today, and I should have written it down or tried to find it. Because it really lays it out that the two parties are both basically the same. Because I can't stand Obama, and I can't stand Romney. And there's no way I would vote for either one of them. And they've screwed Ron Paul, basically. He's sort of on the fringes. And they don't want him in the debates. Apparently he's been barred from Tampa. I haven't read enough on it yet, but it seems like that's what they want to do. Keep him out. And so they don't want to give him a speaking chance. So that's how the GOP treats us. And then they like to say, well, if you vote for Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, you're just going to help Obama get elected. You're taken away. I don't really care. I'm going to vote my conscience so I can live with myself. I'm not going to vote for these neocon bastards. Because they're pretty much both the same. Again, except how much they're going to spend. So I don't trust them at all. I'm not going to vote for some neocon. Romney's a neocon. Several of his people on his advisory, they have their dual U.S.-Israeli passports. You know. Now I'm flipping again, but the other thing that gets me is, wow. NASA landed another gadget on the on Mars, I guess. So I don't know how many billions that cost us. But I'm not against science research and all that, but it's not in the Constitution. I know there wasn't flight when they wrote the Constitution, but it's not one of the duties of the federal government to fund a space program. What, so scientists can continue living off their their dreams. And as the cartoon shows here, Bush, Obama, and Romney, they have the same top campaign contributors. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, UBS. You know. So that's the problem. And Obama is so pathetic. He's just continuing to expand the welfare state, and Obama and Romney nibble at the edges and try to make it look like there's a difference when there is no difference. They're basically the same. It's an unchanging foreign policy. They agree on more than they disagree with. You have a big government Republican running against a bigger government Democrat. So, I mean, I would only support Ron Paul if I was a delegate. The hell with their BS about you got to go with, you know, what the majority wants. So that's why I can't stand them. I'm going to vote for Gary Johnson because I hear if you write Ron Paul's name in, you know, the ballots won't count. But, you know, Obama and Romney equal each other. They both support the Military Detention Act, the Patriot Act. They both support banks and corporate bailouts, backroom deals, Federal Reserve, unconstitutional wars. They both support more subsidies to already billion-dollar corporations, be it, you know, BP. This person writes comes to mind. And more FDA power and destruction of small farmers and no subsidies or help from the government, but the huge anti-organic farmers make money from their subsidies. And don't forget, like as I mentioned before, Goldman Sachs and Credit Suisse, Morgan Stanley, they're all big contributors to Romney and Obama. You know, so either way, the globalists and the banksters control things. Now, here's a good one. As I was talking about earlier, when I was talking about all these countries that were colonized or, you know, invaded or occupied by Western powers, well, here's the countries attacked by bombing, sabotage, or attempted government overthrow since World War II. Iran has none. Now, the U.S., China, Syria, China 45 to 46, Syria 1949, Korea 1950 to 53, China 1950 to 53, Iran 1953, Guatemala 54, Tibet 1955 to the 70s, Indonesia 1958, Cuba 1959. So these are all countries attacked by bombing or sabotage or attempted government overthrow since World War II by the U.S. CIA and whatnot. Dominican Republic, 1961. Iraq, 1960 to 63. Vietnam, 61 to 73. Well, that's 12 years, but Afghanistan's catching up. Brazil, 1964. Belgian Congo, 64. Guatemala, 64 and 54. Laos, 64 to 73. Well, they got involved with the Viet Cong over there, and Nixon invaded Laos illegally, or bombed Laos. I think it was Laos. Dominican Republic, 65 to 66. They were there in 61, then back in 65 and 6. Peru, 1965. Greece, 67. Guatemala, back again, 67 to 69. Cambodia, 69 to 70. Chile, 70 to 73. So, and there's, I have another column to read off. These are all countries that were bombed, sabotaged, or attempted government overthrow by the U.S. federal government, mostly CIA or their other minions, maybe some in the military. They go back and forth. That Hayden was a despicable guy. I think he was the head of the CIA, former general, a bald-headed guy that some bitch looked like, you know, typical clueless about a lot of things, but it's all wrapped up in the flag and patriotism, you know, pro-torture and pro-CIA and all their damn antics. Here's a few more countries bombed, sabotaged, or attempted overthrow by the U.S. since World War II. Argentina, 76. Turkey, 1980. Poland, 80, 81. El Salvador, 81 and 92. Nicaragua, 81 to 90. Cambodia, 1980 to 95. That's 15 years. Angola, 1980. Lebanon, 82 to 84. Grenada, 83 to 84. Grenada, when we defeated the Cuban construction workers. Yes. The Philippines in 1986. Libya in 86. I'd have to say 2012 also. Or 11, 2011. Iran, 1987 to 1988. That must have been when we were helping Iran fight against our ally Saddam's Iraq. Libya, 1989. Panama, 89-90. That was awful, Panamanian deception. Iraq, 91. Kuwait, 91. Somalia, 92-94. Black Hawk down. Iraq, 92-96. Bosnia, 1995, Iran, 1998, Sudan, 1998, Afghanistan, 1998, Yugoslavia, Serbia, 1999, Afghanistan, 2001, Iraq, 2002-3, Somalia, 2006-2007, Iran, 2005-present, Libya, 2011. So these are all countries I've named in the dates. Bomb, sabotage, or attempted government overthrow by the U.S. government and its CIA since World War II. Now, I don't know about the Sudan. And, you know, some of these are just instigating things or using their minions or others to back the CIA or their connections. They're the ones that do that. So instead of having a whole war, you just have the CIA in there. Let them manipulate things. The media, pay off the side they want. You know, often with drugs that the CIA runs to give them money for things that Congress won't give them money for. And Meanwhile, Afghanistan, poppy production is at an all-time high. And I've seen video on YouTube of British and American troops defending the poppies, you know, guarding the poppy fields. You know, hard to believe, but the stuff's going on. I talk about the CIA. Who wrote it. The CIA owns every one of any significance in the major media. Former CIA director William Colby. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? So another good news is that Ron Paul has succeeded in getting his bill through, or the House passed his bill on audit the Fed. Now if he can get that through the Senate, I can see that being a problem. He's hanging in there, but I think old Ron Paul's going to make more damage after he retires, because then he'll be able to speak his mind even more. He'll probably be even more radical or forceful then. I just wish that he was more forceful when he ran his campaign. You know, to me that would have been much more, I wish he was more combative, more forceful. He probably would have done better. I wanted to coach him. There you have it. So that's why I'll be supporting Gary Johnson, and so should you. So I'm moving on to Obamacare. See this friend of mine, she's got her little sign up on Facebook. Fact: thanks to President Obama's health care law, nearly 12.8 million Americans will get rebates from health insurance companies this summer, totaling $1.1 billion. Wow. That doesn't even pay for a week. Was it a week or a month? A week, I believe, the wars are costing. I think it's $2 billion a week. It's $8 billion a month. $96 billion a year, $100 billion a year. Yeah, I got a small rebate back from the insurance companies. But, you know, that was forced on them through government. And this whole Obamacare thing is going to backfire, just like Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. We don't want to throw people in the streets, but we know that these institutions, these mixed economy institutions of government and the private sector, or mostly government with Medicare and Medicaid, but these are going to go broke. You know, there's trillions of unfunded liabilities. And, you know, there will be a reckoning day. We don't know when or how. Well, we know how, but we don't know when. So I'm just not very optimistic for the whole thing. I can't find that quote. From Carol Quigley. As far as this NASA thing today, when I looked at it, and I'm one who basically believes that they did land on the moon. I don't know how so many people could keep that secretive if they did it in a studio. It just seems like that would get out. Unless it did, and it has gotten out. But It did look phony to me. It did look kind of phony. And here's a comparison. NBC, 6-hour delay for an event 3,500 miles away. 6-hour delay from London to U.S.? Seems kind of strange. But for NASA, 14-minute delay for an event 155 million miles away. It just looked kind of corny today, like it was staged. You know, it's hard to say. If this stuff was staged, how could they keep it under wraps as long as they do? You know, something ain't right here. It just seems a bit strange. But today, it looked very hokey, I thought. So, and I'm not a conspiracy person. I'm not interested in conspiracies. I'm interested in the facts of conspiracies. And that landing today looked kind of staged to me. I thought NASA was, you know, cut back all their little deals. I'm against NASA because NASA stands for Not Another Socialist Administration. And there's nothing in the Constitution that says the federal government is supposed to, you know, fund a space program. I'd rather see the private sector take it over and let them run it. I might have found that quote. Let the Air Force handle the strategic part of NASA and sell the rest off to all foreign and domestic investors. You know, that would make, that would be a way to dismantle it and let the scientists live their dreams off those who want to pay for it, cut the rest of us loose. You know, I think I'm on the verge of finding this quote. It was a friend of mine. It was on Facebook. I wanted to share it with my audience because, and this is that Carol Quigley quote by someone we despise, yet it's very revealing, and he was right on the money. And I'm sorry I lost it. I know who sent it. Yeah, this Mars thing, it looks awful hokey to me. But how would they, if it wasn't true, how would all these people be quiet about it? You know, are scientists and engineers going to, you know, be quiet about a conspiracy that huge? So that's the strange part of it. How could they do that? And keep that quiet. But today it looks so hokey. It looks so staged. You know, just to me, it looked very suspicious. So that's strange, because if it was real, well, that's one thing. But again, and there's people that don't believe we landed on the moon. So if that's true, how do they keep it under wraps? So who didn't talk about that? It seems like that would be a very hard thing to not speak about, or someone to be quiet about. So, I don't know, but today's looked awful hokey to me. You know, so anyway, I'm not optimistic about. Not optimistic about this election at all. And it's funny, they'll say, oh, if you don't support Romney, you don't vote for Romney. If you vote for Gary Johnson or Ron Paul or any sort of third party, you're taking away votes from Romney. Well, so what? Who says I have to vote for any of these idiots in the same party? Obama will get back in. I can't stand Obama, and I can't stand Romney, so why should I vote for anyone that I don't like or respect? They don't deserve it, and they won't get it. At least I'll be able to live with myself because I voted for, I'm not even saying the lesser of two evils. I much prefer Gary Johnson. I met him on 4th of July at a picnic, and I said to him, no matter what happens, I hope you'll never be, I hope you'll never serve the Israeli lobby. You know, made a few remarks about Israel, and he kind of shook his head in agreement. I know he doesn't want to attack Iran. He wants to end this stupid drug war. I think bring the troops home. I'm not too crazy about his foreign policy because it's a bit not libertarian enough for me. So I got through tonight, and I've been a little dizzy, a little queasy today. But I'm glad I was able to conduct this show. I might take a little time off in the near future because I need a vacation. And if I'm out of the country, well, I don't want to use Skype if I'm out of the country. I'd rather be at my office doing this. So anyway, I touched on a lot of different things tonight. Just jumping here, jumping there because that's what I do. I can multitask back and forth. Hit on that tragedy, that Sikh temple being hit like that. It's such a shame. Because I understand the culture, and I have Indian friends, and I love the food. And it's just really painful to see that happen. I mean, for anybody for that matter, but, you know, when they're singled out, gotta kill me some Muslims. Not even Muslims, you idiot. So, and with that, folks, I'm gonna sign off. I am your humble host, PK, and I'm here every Monday evening, 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern, here on Third Stream View, BBS Radio, Station 2. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's your humble, not-so-humble host, PK, signing off. Good night, everyone.